Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You may approach. Take your seat.
My name is Sarah Fafrick, and I'm the attorney for Stephen. Stephen is a juvenile who's had to survive abuse, neglect, trauma, and a significant amount of loss while involved in the juvenile court system. Because of what he has had to survive, Stephen requires the rehabilitative services that only the juvenile court can provide. And upon a de novo review of the record, this court should find that Stephen's case should have remained in juvenile court. The most critical piece of evidence presented at Stephen's transfer hearing is a neuropsychological evaluation authored by Dr. Connolly. That evaluation stated that Stephen was amenable to treatment in juvenile court, that Stephen's behavior was a result of adolescent development and a significant amount of trauma. That evaluation also stated that Stephen's mental health issues should aggressively be treated in juvenile court with juvenile services, with providers that have experience in working with juvenile offenders, and that juveniles require a different treatment approach than adults. There was no evidence presented by the state explaining what services were available in adult court, especially when adult court at times focuses on deterrence and punishment. That there's no evidence to explain what services could work to rehabilitate Stephen in the adult court system. There was no violence used in this offense. Stephen did not threaten or physically assault anyone. He was taken into custody without incident. So there's no public safety concern associated with the escape. However, if this court were to be concerned with that, Dr. Connolly also stated that the solution to public safety is to aggressively treat Stephen's mental health issues, and that the extent of time Stephen is detained or supervised is not as important as the quality of those interventions.
Let me jump back just a minute. You talked about adult court. By law, can't the adult court do all of the things that the juvenile court can do for Stephen?
There is a provision in the adult court statutes that does state that under certain circumstances, probation or those types of services can be utilized. However, in adult court, those services cannot be implemented until the end of the adult court case, until the sentencing phase of the adult court case. In juvenile court, services can be implemented pretty much right away from the filing of a petition. Evaluations can be ordered, placement can be made, temporary orders can be put in place, like drug testing and therapy, to start the rehabilitation process prior to adjudication.
How long has this young man been under the juvenile court system?
I don't have the exact date, but approximately 5 to 6 years.
And what services have been provided in that period of time?
The in-home services, such as electronic monitoring therapy, family therapy, there have been out-of-home placements, and he was committed to the Youth Rehabilitation Treatment Center in Kearney.
How many times?
Twice.
Didn't the trial judge essentially say there isn't any more we can do?
In his order to transfer, that seemed to be what the juvenile court was implying. However, going back to the evaluation explained that given the amount of trauma Stephen's had, especially between his first and second commitment to Kearney, that the same services might have to be utilized to see progress, because the services will have to focus on different things.
That sort of takes us back to the standard of review. You have articulated both today and in brief for a pure de novo on the record standard. The state argues for a pure abuse of discretion standard. Given that this is a juvenile case and that it involves transfer, are you telling us that we should owe no deference whatsoever to the trial courts having seen and heard the witnesses?
If Stephen is asking that this court use the de novo standard of review...
That's not what I asked. I asked, are you saying that we should owe no deference to the fact that the trial court saw and heard the witnesses at the transfer hearing?
Yes, Your Honor, for the fact that this order of transfer is a huge decision in Stephen's life. He could be a convicted felon at age 17 or age 18. And so it is imperative that this court looks at the evidence with a fresh set of eyes to make sure that Hugh's decision was correct and that there was sufficient evidence.
Dr. Connolly did not testify, correct?
That's correct.
That was presented in a report.
That is also correct.
How much time remained in the juvenile court to implement all of these additional services that Dr. Connolly suggested should be done?
At the time of the transfer hearing, I believe Stephen was about 4 months from turning 18. So at that time, you know, there was close to, you know, well over a year to work with him. And then furthermore, even now, there's still close to a year to work with Stephen. And as was explained in the evidence at the transfer hearing, you know, Stephen could potentially get through a commitment to YRTC and another placement before he was going to
HL. What evidence would there be to indicate that he would remain at YRTC? I mean, he's, is this the right word, eloped from YRTC a time or two?
Yes, the state charge was the first time that Stephen left the YRTC. You know, Stephen's motivation for the alleged state should not be held against him in so much as that it would be very, very normal for a juvenile not to want to be in an out-of-home placement, for a juvenile to want to be home. And so
I don't know. Home when he escaped?
He was found in Lincoln, which is where he's from. So that would be very
normal. He was more than once, didn't he?
Then from the transport van. So yes, he has alleged that's where the escape occurred, was from the transport van on the way back to the YRTC car. But Dr. Connolly addressed that behavior in her evaluation by stating that Stephen's adolescent development combined with PSPD makes it, you know, near impossible for him to appropriately weigh the consequences and risk associated with his behavior. That's why it's so important for Stephen to be around providers that specialize in working with juveniles or juvenile offenders with this type of behavior.
What's the worst thing you find in?
Regarding this offense?
Uh-huh.
You know, again, this was a nonviolent offense. Stephen eloped from the transport van and was apprehended by police, you know, without incident, I think within a few blocks. So again, this was a nonviolent offense. It did not last very long. He was taken into custody without incident. Those are the facts of what happened.
If the system transferred from juvenile court, then how long would the supervision and services be available to this young man? How far would they go?
If it wasn't transferred
right to
adult court?
Right.
If it wasn't transferred to adult court, the juvenile court has jurisdiction until age 19.
Right. And if it went to adult court, how long would they be able to supervise and provide services? So if there's probation or whatever.
Yeah. It's my understanding it could be potentially up to five years. However, again, it's more important for Stephen to be around providers that specialize in juvenile court as opposed to being around people that do not specialize in that to rehabilitate him. The extent of time detained or supervised is not as important as the quality of the intervention.
If he's put on probation, can't those same providers be a condition of probation or utilized by adult probation, the juvenile providers you're talking about?
Again, it's my understanding that Stephen's still under the jurisdiction of the juvenile court. That's a possibility. But again, those services can't be implemented until the end of a criminal court case. So there's this huge gap in time where Stephen could be receiving rehabilitative services, which I think is why the final appealable order language was added to the transfer hearing statute. Was if this case, which it is supposed to be back in juvenile court, that services can begin almost immediately. I'm going to save the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Parker, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Tara Parker, Deputy County Attorney with the Lancaster County Attorney's Office. I am here representing the Appalachian State of Nebraska. This is a case in a first impression as far as the standard of review goes, and the state is requesting that this court adopt the abuse of discretion standard of review. As far as the facts of this case, the state is actually looking at what is best for Stephen as far as transfer. It may not seem like that, but Stephen has been in the juvenile court system for approximately 6 years, been offered numerous services, numerous out-of-home placements that can provide treatment and services, and has been committed to the Youth Rehabilitation and Treatment Center on two occasions. Essentially,
back to the standard of review, if you would, yes. Why should we do abuse of discretion?
There already is case law as far as transferring from county and district court to juvenile court, and that is abuse of discretion. I don't see any reason why it shouldn't be the same going from juvenile to county or district, especially since the district court for the statute indicates that the district or county court has to consider the exact same criteria, I believe it's A through O, that the juvenile court has to consider.
More serious? Are the consequences greater for the young person to be transferred into adult court as opposed to being transferred out of adult court, and does that make a difference?
The consequences can be more serious if transferred from juvenile to adult. They don't necessarily, because a juvenile would like to avoid a conviction versus an adjudication. So there are more serious consequences. However, appellant could be placed on probation in adult court, and it would be very similar to a juvenile court probation.
So the fact that it's more serious, should that figure into our decision as to what the standard of review is?
I don't believe so. I understand that there is more serious consequence, but this is also a juvenile who has been in the system for 6 years and is still doing or committing law violations that
the decision we make about standard of review is not just going to affect this case. This will affect every case from now forward.
That is correct, Your Honor. I do think we need to give deference to the judges in both county court and juvenile court, that they are making the best or right decisions they can. I do think we need to put that trust. I do think that there is actually broad discretion from the juvenile court to transfer down to county or district court, and that they are considering all those criteria, and that they are don't have to necessarily put the same exact amount of
weight on earlier in the timeline, was there discretion as to whether or not to charge in juvenile as opposed to criminal court?
There is discretion among the county attorney whether to file and move for transfer. The statute indicates that if the county attorney wants it to be an adult court and it's below a 2A felony, it does have to start in a juvenile court and be transferred.
So for this particular case, the county attorney did not have any discretion to file directly in the adult court, correct?
That is correct.
It had to start in juvenile court.
Correct, Your Honor.
Because it was alleged to be a Class 4 felony.
That is correct.
What's the lesson there, if any?
I don't know that I understand your question.
So the legislature, I think, has indicated this, the 4 felony would have to be commenced in juvenile court.
That's correct. And
is there a hint of a reason?
I honestly don't know the reason, because they do allow the county attorney to file that motion to county court. My guess would be that if they're extremely serious law violations, such as above a class or class 2A felony or higher, then maybe those need to be directly handled in adult court versus juvenile court. However, in those circumstances, they can still seek transfer back to juvenile court. So there's nothing precluding either side in either case from seeking transfer to the other court's jurisdiction.
What is the worst thing this young person did in this case?
Regarding the escape, I think first he escaped from the YRTC when he was committed the second time with another youth. so 2 years escaped essentially with the help of a third youth. And then he helped another youth escape when they were on their way back to YRTC. So there's a lot of...
A lot of escapes.
Yes. And
there were elopements.
Correct. And each time it's been with other youth, whether... I'm not sure who helped who escape from the YRTC initially, but the appellant was the one who helped the other youth escape from the van. He initiated it, he slipped out of the cuffs, he opened the door, and that's how the other youth was able to escape.
So he's an aider and abettor.
What's that?
He's an aider and abettor.
Yes. And that's not the only time he's absconded from placements. He did abscond from Florida Academy in Iowa with another youth, and they were found with a stolen car. Similarly, when he escaped from the YRTC the second time, him and the other escapee were found in a stolen car.
They use a phrase, on run.
Yes.
How many times has he been on run?
5 times. And that was from Boys County RTF he ran, Youth Care Beyond he ran. He was at, I believe, his mother's house when he ran once. He ran from Clarinda Academy and then the most recent YRTC commitment.
So he's not always running home. Sometimes he runs away from home.
Correct. I'm not for sure, but I don't know that he's ever turned himself in. I do know that at least on the Clarinda YRTC runs, he was located by police. And he's had the opportunity at 8 different placements, which have led to 8 different detentions. So I think...
So isn't the problem here not the seriousness of the crime, but the...
It's just him, not necessarily the seriousness of the crime, but that he's been in the juvenile court system for 6 years. If he's not, he has to take advantage of these placement and services. Just because they're put in place doesn't mean he's utilizing them to help rehabilitate himself.
Is that one of the statutory factors that can be taken into consideration?
One of the factors that the... transfer order has to address is whether or not the juvenile is amenable to services in juvenile court, and the lower court found that he was not. Additionally, the probation and adult court, as court asked of counsel for an appellant, can provide the same services, and if you were placed on probation, it can be supervision up to 5 years, whereas in juvenile court, the court could oversee things until he was 19. And at the time of the motion, the transfer, he was only 16 months from being 19. And at that point, there would be no supervision. Any sort of services would have to be completely voluntary on his part.
His suffering seems to indicate that there would be some quite large gap between, if this were in the adult court, there would be some quite large gap before services could be provided to this young person. How do you address that?
That is correct. I think a lot of that is because appellant has an ongoing juvenile case separate from this, and that's where all of these services are coming from right now. If this case weren't have, there wouldn't have been a motion to transfer, putting them essentially on, or an appeal, essentially putting them on hold, services may have been able to start, but a key thing to note is that he escaped from YRTC. The court commits a juvenile to YRTC, but then it's up to the YRTC when that juvenile is ready to come back into the community. So under his other case, he is and was committed to the YRTC, and there's nothing that the judge can do once that order is entered. He can't order him to be released and put somewhere else, or it's all up to the YRTC to decide what services to provide, if he needs to go to Hastings to get substance abuse treatment, what type of group therapy.
Can you address that on a broader sense, as in future cases, it seems to me the argument would be the same as to why you shouldn't put someone in adult court, because there's this gap between the start of an adult case and putting someone on probation.
That's correct, Your Honor, and
how long is the gap likely to be?
It would depend on each case. It would depend on whether or not, well, first, if there was an appeal file that will delay time, if I may answer that.
You may answer.
It would also, it just depends whether the defendant wants to come in and plead, services, sentencing, and then services can start, whether or not there's continuances, a trial. It all just depends on how fast the case goes in criminal court. But yes, there are, it would take until the end of the case for services or probation or sentences to be implemented.
Are pretrial services available?
In adult court?
Yes.
I actually am not aware that pretrial services are also.
Could community corrections supervise you in adult court, in criminal court?
I am not sure on that either. I apologize.
Can I follow up with
that? Sure.
Along those lines, if a person is under 18, as this individual was, he would not be held in the jail. He would be held in the juvenile detention center. Is that correct?
Until the juvenile is 18, they are in the juvenile detention
center. So during that time, can services be provided at the juvenile detention center to
yes.
a juvenile pre-adjudication?
Yes.
If they're so inclined, I guess maybe it cannot be forced, but if they're so inclined to take advantage of those services.
Yes, Your Honor. At the juvenile detention center, they can receive educational services, evaluations can start in the detention center. So there are some services that can be offered.
And then once they get to the jail, they can either be held on community corrections bond, if it's appropriate for them to not be in custody, or they're posted a bond. And have services available through community corrections.
Correct, Your Honor.
Thank you. Sorry.
Your Honor, I would ask that this court affirm the lower court's decision and transferring the appellant's case from criminal court to county court. I would also ask this court adopt abuse of discretion as a standard of review. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? 40 seconds, Ms. Stafford.
A de novo standard of review should be used in this case, and the adult court transfer hearing statute states that in order to retain a case, that is a sound basis. There has to be a sound basis for retaining the case in adult court. To transfer a case out of juvenile court, a preponderance of the evidence has to be shown. The fact those are two different basis that indicates that different standards of review should be used. Furthermore, the legislature's goal is to keep cases in juvenile court. Therefore, any transfer out of juvenile court should be looked at as suspect. And again, Stephen's a kid, and he needs the rehabilitative services of the juvenile court.
Thank you very much. Our next case is